Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
And we're calling with a bonus special episode, bitch.
Oh, and I can already tell this is going to be an acrimonious affair, bitch, because we're doing this bonus episode in preparation for our show, Culch War.
Tomorrow!
November 7th at Villain in Williamsburg, 8:30 p.m.
Yes,
307 Kent Avenue between South 2nd and South 3rd Street.
Get there early. Doors opening at 7:30. And again, this is tomorrow, people. Tuesday, November 7th at Villain in Brooklyn. And I don't think there could be a more fitting title than Villain.
Than Villain.
To describe your team.
Absolutely not. No. First of all,
I have villains on my team. It's true.
Multiple people have characterized your team as the team of villains. And that, you know.
We are wearing red.
You are wearing red. And potentially that will be sort of. That might be a winning stratagem, is that you guys will be so aggressive, so malicious, so invective. You will all have such invective to spew at my team of do-gooders.
Have you heard from your teammates? Are they strategizing? I've heard from my team. Oh, well, I've certainly heard from my team, and they told me that we shouldn't worry at all. I've heard about
wardrobe choices
for my team.
I've heard about wardrobe choices. Do you fucking know what Greta Tilghman's going to wear? No, you don't.
Well, guess what? Elise Morales approached me today and said she picked out something real fucking cute.
Is it?
And also, she told me that she's not worried at all.
Is it a short sleeve electric blue Versace
dress? Why would
dress?
You give it away? I guess that takes away the... You undermine your own team here in this moment.
Bitch.
It's so funny.
That you think that I'm undermining. It's so funny.
It's so hilarious. Okay. What you do.
Well... First of all, let's just say that this is going to be a bracketed format of
yes.
I Don't Think So Honeys.
Yes.
And they're just going to go at it. And so here's how the night is going to play out. We're not going to give too much away. But first round with all of our competitors is going to be about people. They have to take to task people, whether or not they're celebrities, a group of people that does a specific thing that gets on on their nerves.
The category is people, and that is open to interpretation.
Yes.
So we've asked all 18 of our competitors to come in and prepare something that would fit under the umbrella of people. So that's round one.
Yep.
The victors of those rounds will move on to round two, and the category is...
I'm so sorry. The little things.
Yes.
The little things. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Okay. It's the little things. It's like those little ticks and tacks.
The little things. And again, very wide umbrella.
Yep.
And then there's going to be a third round based on those winners, and that's going to be user's choice. So they've come prepared with several I Don't Think So Honeys. Very few of them will get to do all three of them because, listen, this is a competition. It's going to get fucking down to the wire.
It's going to get down to
the wire. People are going to be cut. There's going to be tears shed.
They're going to be tear shed, but that's the business, baby.
That's the business, baby.
That's the culture war.
This show, if nothing else, is a crash course for the biz.
And I got to say, and you were saying there couldn't be a more appropriate venue name than Villain. There couldn't be a more appropriate night for this to fall on. On what else but election night.
Election night.
2017.
The night decisions get made.
The night decisions get made about... warring sides.
Yeah.
And this is it. Oh, my God.
Now, this won't be a democracy.
No. But
it will be judged by a blue ribbon panel.
A blue ribbon panel. You could say it's an oligarchy of judges. We have the amazing Joel Kim Booster.
Joel Kim Booster, whose Model Minority CD is out now.
The CD is out.
The CD. We call it a CD.
You call it an album.
Well, I call it a CD.
It's no longer a compact disc.
I guess you're... Well, I'm sure you could get it as a compact disc.
No, I don't think so, honey.
You don't think you don't think it's available in that format?
No, because it's printing costs. Have you ever thought of that?
I don't know. All I care about is supporting my friend.
Okay.
I don't care how I do it. If I have to pay a little bit more, that's more money in Joel's pocket.
Tell everyone about our second judge.
Our second judge is Michelle Collins, who I would pay... The printing costs hundreds of dollars I'd pay.
Hundreds of dollars?
Yeah.
And then you would publish you would distribute the albums yourself, the physical hard copies yourself?
If it was more money in her pocket. No, I'm not pandering to judges.
I feel like that's what you're doing. And meanwhile,
please,
I
don't need to do that.
I've been victimized by the judges aggressively. Well, just one in particular, which is Joel. And Joel has come for my team, and I've mentioned this before. He looked at the roster when it first was released, and he said, a lot of heavy hitters on Matt's team. Someone's feeling confident. That someone being me. He assumed that my team would not have the fire in their bellies to win this and take a victory home for Team Bowen.
This is real weak sauce, what you're doing right now.
I'm not being
weak
sauce.
You're trying to come in as a victim.
I'm not coming in as a victim. I've been victimized. It has been inflicted upon me, honey.
Okay, fine. Take that mantle.
So this is what the majority of this bonus episode is going to be. We're going to go through the first round matchups for all 18 comedians on our teams.
We're going to give a little background.
We're going to give backgrounds. We're going to go through their histories.
Why were they chosen?
Why were they chosen? What are... this is going to be sport. What would you say this is? Sports Center style?
I said Sports Center style episode where we go through
yes.
all these matchups and talk strategy, talk how they've succeeded in the past.
Talk shit.
And I'm ready to start doing that right now.
Here we
Let's
go.
Get into round one. Okay, so this round one is titled The Dark versus the Light. And we have on Team Matt Pat Regan, and we have on Team Bowen Dylan Marin. Now, Bowen, talk to me a little bit about the contestant you've chosen, the culturalist that you've chosen, Dylan Marin.
Sure. So before I do that, let me just walk through historically what he's done on record on the podcast for I Don't Think So, Honey.
Sure.
When he was on his committed episode, his dedicated episode, he I Don't Think So, Honey'd, quote, Lady Gaga, where is your performance of White Allyship for Black Lives Matter? And for the live show, for the first installment we did, he, I Don't Think So, Honey'd, casting Laura Dern as Shailene Woodley and Reese Witherspoon's adversary in Big Little Lies when she played their mothers in Wild and The Fault in Our Stars, not respectively, but, you know, Fault in Our Stars for Shailene, Wild for Reese Witherspoon. So, took to task two wildly different things on the spectrum. One was something that was, you know, a very sobering attack on a role model, on a moral authority in the pop star community, in the pop star sort of pantheon. Mm-hmm. And then the other was clearly, you know, a nice, more lighthearted attack at casting in Hollywood.
I have problems with both of these.
Okay, well, before we get into that,
I have immense issues.
I just want to say that that range is very impressive. It's exactly what I'm looking for on my team.
I mean, he certainly was using a range of vocal styles. I mean, everyone can hear him absolutely fucking scream and shout because some people feel that they need to do that.
No,
I don't think so, Honey Live. He was absolutely screaming and shouting.
And meanwhile,
it was really
unseemly. On the record, on his episode,
he was very quiet.
And I'm saying that I want that range.
Sure, you know what? I guess you don't know what you're going to get. Are you going to get Dylan Marin at a 10 or a fucking 1?
Well, if he's going to go for fucking blood, then he's going to be at a 10, I assume.
Well, I hope he certainly comes with something a little bit better than Lady Gaga, where is your performance of White Allyship for Black Lives Matter? Because you know what? She is,
you think
now,
something is...
She is now on the record big time for Black Lives Matter. I have to say, this was too early to attack her for something like this.
No, it came at just the right time because I had even... rebutted with, oh, her song Angel Down is about Trayvon Martin,
and I'm with you there,
and but he expected even more. He wants something very literal, very overt, something that isn't necessarily coded in that way, in the way that she did for Born This Way.
I guess so
sure. I think that's absolutely fair, and you can bet and guarantee that he will be at a 10 screaming his fucking dulcet vocal cords.
I'm sure he
off.
Will, you know. I got,
and he has
and
a voice,
God bless
he has,
him.
He has a voice for podcasts. He knows how to use his instrument.
God bless him. I also, you know, I take issue with this casting Laura Dern as Shailene Woodley and Reese Witherspoon's adversary in Big Little Lies when she played their mothers in Wild and The Fault in Our Stars. So what are we saying here? There's a world where we don't cast Laura Dern in Big Little Lies?
No,
because I'm down with Laura Dern.
Of course
this
we
feels
all
like an
are.
Attack on Laura and Renata, which I don't sit does not sit well with me.
You are deliberately, you're being willfully obtuse.
I don't know
what
if I
he
am.
Is doing is he is taking to task casting just the way that women are wronged in casting in Hollywood.
I don't
with
know.
Age.
I think there's nothing wrong with Laura Dern being cast, by the way, in a flashback in Wild as Reese Witherspoon's mother. It was a flashback. Reese Witherspoon played her young version of herself, which was in her early 20s, and Laura Dern was appropriate for that part, so do your research, Dylan. And then she earned an Oscar nomination for that. And so, I don't know. I feel like this just doesn't check out for me.
He's attacking the larger problem, the overarching problem, which he's very good at doing because he has to look at things with a keen observational eye, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's good that you can repeat that from what you said before. My thing
is, I'm not repeating anything. I'm saying all
stands.
New words, sweetie.
Well, you know,
okay, well, so let's talk about Pat. Pat, who
let's
you know,
talk about Pat. Here, I'll give you the background on Pat.
All right.
Pat, of course, the Las Culturistas Icon Award winner. He's been on both I Don't Think So, Honey lives. I mean, he's an iconic part of the show. Of course, he was on our show and he did the iconic, which earned him the title. He did the iconic, "I don't think so, honey," people who shame me about posting too much on social or about ever being on my phone ever. That was iconic.
It's wordy.
And it was
it's
so
verbose.
It was so iconic that it was animated by Lulu Krauss in Giphy form. And then we have him on our first
video.
"I Don't Think So, Honey," where he accepted the title of Las Culturistas Icon Award. Restaurants who cover their outlets so you can't charge your phone, incredibly on brand. And then we had the iconic on the last Las Culturistas "I Don't Think So, Honey" live. He said, "I don't think so, honey.
These young girls," which I will grant you is iconic.
Find a problem with my man.
Let's go down the list, shall we? Let's go down the list, shall we? One, people who shame me about posting too much on social or about ever being on your phone ever. I mean, that's the opposite of clearly he has the range to make it succinct or wordy. That is something that is just, that's going to be his Achilles heel. He's just going to tumble and stumble on his own words, and he's not going to be able to cogently
communicate. His diction.
I'm not attacking his diction. I'm attacking his communication, his way to concisely communicate an idea, which he's not doing in this first example. So there's that. Number two, restaurants who cover their outlets so you can't charge your phone.
This is fake news.
This is not something that is, this is a thought that we've all had. This is not like an, oh, aha.
We've had it, but we haven't expressed it. And that's what makes it a beautiful, "I don't think so, honey."
We've expressed it countless times.
Who is out there saying, who's out
there talking about restaurants and coffee shops with no outlets is the new complaining about airplane food? It is hackneyed, well-trod territory. And Pat, I expect
you
that
are disgusting
from.
Inside
so,
and out.
And so third, these young girls. I mean, it's almost, you can't poke holes in it almost, but almost, because these young girls, referring to gay men, young gay men, is, you know, toying a little bit too much with gender.
Oh, I don't like
and
you.
So I don't know if that's, you know, going to sit well with the audience, who is going to be very well read, very well educated. And, you know, I think I worry for Pat.
I don't know. I don't worry about him at all. I think he's the Las Culturistas Icon Award winner. I think that he has been described on this show as being someone who is one of the most underrated comedians out there in New York, if not the universe and the world. And I'd say
that person did not. For the record, that person did not extrapolate.
Give the edge to Pat.
No, that's not fair.
And you would give the edge to Dylan.
Absolutely. So okay. It seems like we're at a
draw. We're at an impasse here.
Here we go. Let's move on to the second matchup, which is entitled
Lifestyle
Queens.
Now,
On
Team Matt, we have Elise Morales. And I just want to mention, during New York Comedy Festival, she also has the show Roast of Your 15-Year-Old Self, which is one of the best shows. So look out for that. Now, Elise Morales was an early guest of Las Culturistas.
Yes.
We did an entirely Harry Potter episode, and she did an "I Don't Think So, Honey" that was tonally went with that episode. She did that "Pottermore weighs Hufflepuff more than other houses."
Which, can we clarify, what does that mean?
It means that when you are on Pottermore and you go to take the test to get into a house, it's weighted towards Hufflepuff so that
more of
people,
the answers end up in Hufflepuff.
Yes, and she was "I Don't Think So, Honey"ing that, which is, for me, very academic.
Very academic.
Very genre-specific, and it was very successful. I listened to the episode today. We were gasping and gagging. And then she did her second "I Don't Think So, Honey," which was truly amazing and clinched her spot in this show for me. I never forgot this.
Okay.
Was "People Who Still Care About Kim Kardashian's Sex Tape." And you need to go back and listen to this. "I Don't Think So, Honey." To me, it is well-researched.
Uh-huh.
It is funny. It is incisive. It is revealing. And it is shaming of people who are wrong out there in culture.
Okay.
And that is what an "I Don't Think So, Honey" should do.
Okay. So
I am very confident.
So how should we do this? Should I rebut or should I say?
Go ahead and tell me what's wrong.
So I will grant you that she is. Both of these were fantastic "I Don't Think So, Honeys." But the same problem lies in... this problem applies to both of these, which is her areas of expertise are a little too narrow, a little too specific for
this
my taste.
This is unbelievable.
I know, of course, we know Elise is the authority on Harry Potter. We know Elise is the authority on the Kardashians, but what is she going to talk about outside of those two things?
You doubt that she has expertise in other areas.
I really do. You know, Elise,
oh my goodness.
Elise is a genius at branding her own, you know, topics of you know, her topics. But you know, I'm really worried that she won't really have that much else to draw from.
That's
and
unbelievable
so,
to
and
me.
And I would like to add, Kim Kardashian and shaming people who still care about her sex tape. I mean, why should we? Why should we not care? It's what put Kim Kardashian on the map. It was the seed crystal for her amazing empire. So I don't know why. I would love to keep talking about Kim Kardashian's sex tape.
The issue is not people who care about Kim Kardashian's sex tape. It was people who have a negative opinion on Kim based on the sex tape.
But we need because
she
negative
said she
opinions.
Was merely a girl with a fat ass and even fatter dreams. And that, to me, honey, is a classic joke.
Sure. I mean, a classic joke or something that puts a little bit too much focus on the beauty standard around our asses.
You are unbelievable.
So, you know, I'm a little offended and worried about Elise. So there's that.
Well, she told me that she picked out a red outfit, which will slay, and she is not worried about your team member. Go ahead and describe
this is my
what
team
this
member,
person's all about.
Greta Teitelman. Now, she is someone who knows her frame of references so clearly.
I have to say this, I don't think so, honey, that she did came out of nowhere.
She did. I don't think so, honey, at the second live show. I don't think so, honey, French manicures as pedicures.
Yes.
And she was able to roll out so many good zingers. Your foot isn't handing me my menu at Nobu.
That was
like,
good.
That's pretty fucking iconic. If you can whittle it down to one line, I think that's the sign, that's the mark of an amazing I Don't Think So, Honey. And that's why I picked Greta. She's able to distill something so clearly. Look, her I Don't Think So, Honey, the way that we wrote this out, like, this is sort of like, Matt did a very good job of really getting these written down. Her I Don't Think So, Honey, four words. French manicures as pedicures. That's it. That's
she,
all she
you know what
to say.
I will say? I'm going to give it to her. She did an amazing I Don't Think So, Honey.
Yes.
She represented herself very well.
Yeah.
My concern? All style, no substance.
How dare
already,
you?
I've
How
heard
dare
her
you?
Say, talk all about the outfit she's going to wear as if that's going to carry her through. Guess what, bitch?
You just talked
no.
Elise's outfit.
That's going to be in addition to. Here's the problem.
Oh, no.
She came up to you and was like, my outfit's going to be fierce. And then we looked down at what her I Don't Think So, Honey was, and it's French manicures as pedicures. This is someone who cares a little bit too much about the aesthetics and not enough about the content,
that's
honey.
That's her point of view.
You know what, bitch? I certainly hope she can spread her wings. I hope she surprises us because I think the judges are going to be watching, and I think the judges are going to be saying, huh, are we going to allow ourselves to get fucked over by someone who is not very versatile? Is she going to be working on representing our brand? I don't know. I want something that's not based in fashion. I want something that's not based in skin deep. I want depth from Greta.
How
and I don't know
you.
If we're going to get
trivializing
that.
These industries of beauty and skincare, and frankly, that's not feminist of you. Now,
that's unbelievable to call me unfeminist on this podcast. I support women. I just need them, you know, to deliver more than just.
Why are
this.
You demanding more of women? That's that's awful. Okay, let's move on to our third matchup, shall we?
Yes.
And this is a doozy of a matchup.
Yes, this matchup is
boys we used to
be
in love with
who
are
now
our co-hosts
on
other
shows.
Now, as an added addendum,
let's give the backstory.
Let's give
here.
The backstory. So you go first.
All right, so representing for my team is Dave Mazzoni. The first time I ever saw Dave, we were freshmen in college. I could see right through him. I said, that's a closeted boy from a small suburban town.
In Rhode Island.
Because I see myself in him. I am what? In love with him. proceeded to get obsessed with him. We did a show together where I pined for him all summer long. Eventually, I think it was like 9 months after we did the show, we did end up like becoming better friends. And, you know, you put two people together, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we were in maybe a 5 or 6 week relationship,
yep.
which he ended.
Yep.
And fully broke my heart there.
Oh.
And, you know, looking back, we also made the grave, I think, at the time mistake, but maybe now it's totally fine and funny. But we moved in together as roommates right after this ended. And he was like, because we can do that, right? And in an effort to prove how cool I was like, yeah, absolutely. I'm totally fine with that. We moved in together. Those were hard times. But everything has made us so strong. And Dave is now one of my sisters. He's one of our sisters.
Yeah.
He's our Orlando sister. And that's why I feel so confident with him going out there to represent Team Matt, because he knows Team Matt. Team Matt has sucked his dick. So I feel like, and Team Matt's dick has been in Dave's mouth
now,
and so that's why I feel very confident that Dave is going to bring it home.
Before I talk,
he
about,
hates when I talk about that.
That's fine. Now, are you so that's the backstory.
And I will now say that I don't think Sohani's that he's done.
Well, I feel like let's
okay. So let's hear,
go back and forth on the backstory.
Okay, fine.
And so I'll give my background, and then I have a little bit of a rebuttal. I want to sort of point at something that you just talked about.
Fine.
But I'll do that after this. So Sam Taggart is on my team. Sam Taggart was a mutual friend when I first met him with our very good friend, Matt and I's very good friend, Henry Melcher. Sam knew Henry through Chicago. And Sam was visiting New York one day when he was but a senior at UVA. And he was recently out of the closet, still very masked, still very performatively straight, and was wearing flannel and was just this clean-cut, all-American, quote-unquote, guy. And Henry just very lightly just sort of, you know, considered the possibility of setting us up. And I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Let me meet this guy first. And then at the time, Henry and I were roommates, and I walk up to my roommate, my first apartment in New York, on Avenue A, and when I first saw Sam Taggart, I was like, yeah, I'm in love. And, you know, proceeded to pine for him for a couple of years until he finally moved to New York City after he graduated. And, you know, struck up a friendship where I sort of kept my feelings for him repressed and under wraps for a while, and really had to reckon with that for a long time, which I think really propelled my emotional maturity. But anyway, and then one moment that I share with Sam is that I spent New Year's with him in Chicago, New Year's of 2013. And we drove from Chicago back to New York with a pickup truck full of his stuff and his dog Gizmo on my lap, just nipping at me, just biting at me.
It was beautiful, a relationship.
But you know what? It was one of those experiences. We listened to Fleetwood Mac, Tusk. We talked about great music. I really felt a connection with him. And then when he dropped me off, I knew that he was someone that I would be connected with for life. Now, I finally confessed my feelings for him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he did not return those feelings, and I was devastated. And so we both decided it was a good idea to, for a few months, not talk to each other.
Wow.
And then when we finally did revisit the friendship, what grew out of that was a beautiful, creative collaboration that has created successful franchises such as Live on Broadway.
Yeah, same here with me and Lake Dave Homo with Game High. Show. Yeah.
And oh, and what else? Live on Broadway,
Pop Roulette,
Lake Homo High.
Don't upcoming, fucking challenge me. What else?
An upcoming project that is has yet to be announced, but that will be revolutionary. So I just think Sam and I, for
I bet it'll feel just like the rest.
For
of
me,
them.
For me, coming out of this really emotionally overwrought place of unrequited love to you know, successful relationships, I meet with Sam almost weekly to talk about our ideas and how to execute them and
same,
produce.
Same with me and Dave. Yeah.
You know, that just shows you the growth. And I just want
to
say,
I actually spoke to Dave, you know, just today.
Well, sure. I mean, yeah. that's your cadence.
Very close with him.
That's your cadence. But I would like to point out that you deciding to move in with him. Mm-hmm. As a display of you being cool, just is a blatant display of your poor judgment. And I think that is something the judges should consider. So
why would they consider that I have poor judgment? I think they'll consider, wow, what a long journey it's been. Mm-hmm. Clearly, they still have a collaborative, thrilling relationship that he's allowed to be on this
that
stage.
Reverberated
and they've been through much more difficult stuff together than you and Sam. We have been through the ringer, and you and Sam, what, you have a mere crush on him.
Here
you didn't go through a relationship.
What was
a
the
marriage
ringer? What was the what was the ringer, Matt, that I had to bear the brunt of some of this too in Pop Roulette rehearsals where you two would bicker like fucking children?
Yeah, that was definitely much harder for you than it was for me.
Mine, Sam's past has not trickled down and reverberated out in a negative way towards our other collaborators the same way that you're in Dave's
you
has.
Would be nowhere if it wasn't for me.
How
and
dare
Dave.
You how dare you play kingmaker with me, bitch. No
you don't
way.
Bite the hand. Now listen, Dave has done some incredible I Don't Think So Honeys in the past, and I am so proud to have him on my team. Dave's first I Don't Think So Honey on just the third episode of Las Culturistas was people who say they don't vote. This is someone with a civic mind. He said on the episode, it is, there are people in other countries who would die for the opportunity to participate in government, and he represented that, and it was so beautiful. And then his next I don't think so, honey, was people who say Britney Spears sucks now. So that's someone who not only has a mind for government, but a mind for propping up women. And he wants to see women supported, and he said to the whole crowd, Britney Spears raised you. And we, the children, had forgotten that, and he reminded us all. I dare you to say something negative about these I don't think so, honeys.
Okay, totally good. I don't think so, honeys. Absolutely. Don't really have anything critical to say.
Good.
Really just took the form, understood it, went with it, hit it hard, communicated all these things effectively. I will say, you know, both of these are about people. You know, mm-hmm. What is the little thing that
actually
he's
going to
talk
assignment,
about?
So.
It's the first assignment, but, you know, he'll make it through the first round, potentially.
Wow, already
I'm
out.
Saying there's a 50-50 chance, but, you know, what's he going to come up with for the second round if he makes it that far with the little things? Or what's his user's choice that isn't going to sound redundant? That's what I'm worried about for Dave. So, you know, we'll see, and I hope that he makes it far enough along for him
to
see that.
Talking about a lack of versatility, it actually segues perfectly into Sam. So why don't you tell us
what Sam
has done with his I Don't Think So, Honey?
So Sam has really made history at Las Culturistas. His I Don't Think So, Honey on his episode was I Don't Think So, Honey, Las Culturistas podcast, not talking about the new Instagram stories. Now, this was the day of Instagram had launched their stories feature. One, that's historic. Two,
so you're already explaining. Say the other one and then qualify.
Oh, no. Let me just finish on this first one. The second historic thing about this, I Don't Think So, Honey, was that he was the first person in Las Culturistas history to I Don't Think So, Honey, the hosts.
Okay.
Huge, huge, huge. And he did it very well, with energy, with fire, with biting wit.
Okay.
Now, the second I Don't Think So, Honey, was Via Troll Bowl, one of the first early adopters, also historic, of the Troll Bowl, of drawing from the Troll Bowl, was Kelly Clarkson. And
I remember that one because there was like a lot of, there wasn't a lot of words.
Well, no, he was just taking something that he didn't really have expertise with, and he still did not let that affect his performance. He still came with such emotion, with such fire, and you know what? That, to me, is a star. I Don't Think So, Honey, culture icon.
Here's
in the making.
What I'll say.
He's going to take home
the money. If you think you're going to come onto the Las Culturistas podcast and not only disrespect me, but disrespect Kelly, you're not going to get very far. And
What does that have to do with his performance?
I'm just saying that you, karmically, you make a choice when you decide to come for Kelly and to come for me. You make a choice, and karma will come back around.
And karmically, he is on the show I've selected him.
Yeah, I mean, that's your choice, baby. I think it's very self-hating of you to choose someone who has come for you in the past for your choices. I think it's disgusting that you would not support Kelly in this moment when she needs to be supported. The meaning of life is out right now. And I just hope that, you know what, it's not even a hope. I know that the heroes will prevail here, and someone who's been on the side of pop stars and wants them to succeed will definitely take it over someone who came in and trashed someone else. So,
okay, no, you're right. We have diametrically opposed contestants in this matchup.
Absolutely.
And we will see which side karma favors.
We
okay,
will.
How
now
about
let's
that?
Move on. We have the Titans of Intellect.
Titans of Intellect. Now, on my team, we have Amanda Duarte. Just talk about a moral authority here. She is able to take what is happening in the moment, process it, digest it, and give you a clear, cogent opinion on something that you didn't even know you wanted to hear.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know, I'm not saying everyone agrees with her, that everyone should sort of, you know, follow to the letter what she says, but most of the time she's right. And most of the time she is able to, you know, really fucking slay an argument. And her
most of the time, Bowen says.
Okay, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant for it to sound like.
Crazy.
I'm saying 99% of the time.
Oh.
Now, I Don't Think So, Honey, at the Second Life show was the movie Blackfish via the Troll Bowl, and she was able to pull out these amazing, amazing facts and just really just take an academic approach, Socratic approach to taking down the movie Blackfish.
Her facts were, don't make me hungry for sushi.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That was her fact?
Well, you would say that's not a fact?
I would say that is some hokum.
That's not hokum. How dare you?
I would say
reduce that Amanda Duarte's words to hokum.
She couldn't find a way to feasibly attack the movie Blackfish, so she decided to take a comedic route and say You know what? This show is not comedy. The show is about truth to power. What made the Blackfish a not good movie? You could have said not enough input from SeaWorld's perspective.
Sure. I mean, do we expect her? It's not very feminist of you.
This is crazy.
It's not very feminist of you. And this might be a preview of what the collective team strategy will be, is to sort of cut you off, just hit you low with this fact, frankly, that Matt Rodgers is not a feminist.
It's insane to say I'm not a feminist when there's someone on my team in this very matchup, actually, who's one of the hosts of the podcast Misandry with
Marsha
Belsky and my teammate Ray Sani, who's representing for Team Matt. Her I Don't Think So Honeys in the past are, when she was on our show, Twitter people who ain't got a blue check,
okay,
coming for her.
Uh-huh.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And her I Don't Think So Honey Live was Elizabeth Moss via the Troll Bowl.
Now, this was iconic.
Iconic. She hit everything. When I put Elizabeth Moss in that Troll Bowl,
There's a lot to hit,
and she hit everything.
Absolutely.
She hit everything you could clock Elizabeth Moss. She even went as far as to say Top of the Lake was boring, which it is. You know, yeah. And that's like in the deeper, like, things you could hit about Elizabeth Moss. Obviously,
oh, sure.
She got Scientology. Obviously,
yeah.
You know, all these things. But to say Top of the Lake was boring, that's truly cultural commentary.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I don't think that, I don't know. I don't see a threat here.
You know, this is, the threat is that Amanda will succeed with flying colors.
You are at a loss.
Every round, because she has demonstrated versatility. She knows how to talk about every which topic. Now,
she
Twitter,
certainly has demonstrated hokum.
How dare you?
She is hokum.
You cannot
hokum
pokum. You cannot throw the word hokum at someone with the intellectual prowess of Amanda Duarte. How dare you?
Hokum.
I'm not attacking Ray.
Yeah, well, maybe that's your problem. It's because you have not chosen wisely. You see, my team is impenetrable.
Absolutely not.
I see
Absolutely
Ray
not.
Devouring Amanda.
And this is the narrative that I want to point out, is that, you know, the rosters went out. People were like, oh, advantage Matt. But then slowly, as these matchups came out. No. I wasn't going into a victim narrative there. As the matchups were released, people started to say, the collective din was, oh wait, this is more of a toss-up than I thought it would be. And I think that's absolutely what we're seeing. So, you know, don't count your wins and your advantages just yet, Matt. That's all.
Let's move on to our next battle matchup, which is
former
Planet Hollywood
front of house staff.
Now, these are two gentlemen who used to work the front of house at Planet Hollywood Times Square, mm-hmm. And my, have they grown from that point.
They've grown from that point, and they've grown from a specific incident where I believe Tim Murray did tell us this privately off the mm-hmm, record, that mm-hmm. when they did work at Planet Hollywood together, they didn't really interface or interact that much, Michael Hartney and Tim Murray. But one time, I believe it was a chef or someone in the kitchen had like done some shitty thing to Tim. Right?
Well, it was a dispute in the kitchen, like you have, where Tim, I think, asked for something.
Yes.
And the chef acted like it was a much bigger deal than it was. And Michael Hartney jumped in and just told him to give him the fucking thing because it wasn't a big deal. So, you know what? You got quite a titan on your team there. Michael Hartney is on your team, and, you know, he's a force to be reckoned with.
Someone who is able to just step up and be that corrective force in the world.
I understand. Look, I'm not even going to front. I also wanted Michael for my team. I lobbied hard for him. He ended up on your team. It's certainly a concern of mine that he isn't on my team, but because he certainly shut it down with his I Don't Think So Honeys in the past.
Absolutely.
Mean, he's been absolutely amazing. What has he done?
First time was on the first live show. I Don't Think So Honey. They famously closed the whole show.
Closed the show.
Until Sunny Tamani came up from the raffle. But he closed the whole show with I Don't Think So Honey. People who say their favorite movie of 1995 was The Usual Suspects.
Topical.
And that Facebook. Well, stop. It was topical. Now, how dare you? Because
it's
was topical
right now in this moment, I'm saying.
Of course, Kevin Spacey, but it was topical. He was talking about that Facebook game where people were posting years that they've been living. And
he chose to go a topical route on that evening, yes.
And he made a great Kevin Spacey joke. If I wanted to hear Kevin Spacey lie for 2 hours, I'd ask him about the women he's fucked.
Right.
I mean, what a great setup punchline. Right there, just he's able.
He's a stunning
writer.
I don't think so, honey. Or.
A stunning humorist. And I just want to say, you know, he is someone who has strong opinions about a lot of things.
Right.
And I will say, he is almost always right about that.
And what was his other I don't think so, honey?
I'm sorry. His other I don't think so, honey, during his episode was People Who Come for Moana.
And here is my problem. We have a very film-centric mind here.
Okay.
And I don't know. I guess the judges, again, are they going to see a lack of versatility on your team? Are we, again, are we getting
I'm
caught
sorry,
up?
Again, that's been the argument that I've leveled against your team all this time. What
no,
do you mean, again, that
no.
you're dealing with that?
You're dealing with people who obviously deal only in the world of fashion, who people
no,
world of film.
Harry Potter, Kim Kardashian,
who
people.
Only deal in the world of attacking us and the people that we love, which is Sam. I'm just saying, Michael, you know what? If you're going to come to I Don't Think So, Honey, and if you say a fucking I Don't Think So, Honey about a movie or like anything in the world of cinema, don't think that's not going to register, okay? Because we see you, bitch. We see you. We see you in your limited scope.
Okay, well then if you're going to talk about, you know, you know, some any myopic sort of areas of expertise, mm-hmm. why don't you talk about your
I'm
team
proud
member.
To. My teammate is Tim Murray. Now, his first I Don't Think So, Honey in the I Don't Think So, Honey live was Harry Potter Bullies. He's never read it. He's not going to read it. Stop bullying him. He's not going to do it.
That's a shaming,
and,
shaming.
Well, stop shaming him, and he won't shame you. And his second one, which is on our episode, was People Who Slide Into My DMs to Ask About My Friend. Now, tell me what's comparable between those two. We had two stunning I Don't Think So, Honeys that made us think about our behavior.
Yeah.
And they were cultural, and they both of these I Don't Think So Honeys created a shift in the way people behaved.
Absolutely not. Where's that shift? What would you say that shift has been?
I would say that people, when they heard him on Los Culturistas talk about don't fucking contact him and ask about his friends in his DMs, I bet he's gotten no messages since that.
I just think it's
he made a social point.
He's coming from this very unrelatable place.
Wow.
One with the Harry Potter sort of the anti-Harry Potter sentiment, but two, implying that people are sliding into his DMs to ask about his friend, or bringing that up, it would imply that he, A, has a hot friend, which not everybody does, and B...
We all have a hot friend.
And B, it implies that people are DMing him, and I don't get that many DMs, and I don't relate to that. It's alienating to me.
I think that makes you unusual, because I think most of us get DMs, whether or not we get 5 or 10 or maybe even 1 or 2 a day. We all get DMs. We all know what DMing is all about.
You can't say that.
And I think that we can relate to him on a Harry Potter level too, because some of us just like, maybe we're not into it. It's this cultural, this idea that we all have to be part of the same culture. He represents so much. There's so much brevity.
I just want to say,
levity.
Just to bring up that anecdote again about that Planet Hollywood incident in the kitchen. Tim Murray owes Michael Hartney his career.
Wow, this is...
So just think about that.
I think we'll see what happens.
Okay, next
we have
matchup.
Someone who's been coming. They're both going to come very hard.
That's going to be one to watch.
That's going to be very
all,
much one to watch.
These are all we have. You know what? First of all, just as a point
I'm
of
getting excited.
As a point of unity, I think you and I have done a very good job with these matchups.
Yes.
Amanda Duarte did. And this is why I respect. Just to go back to Amanda really quickly. She asked if there were any male-female matchups or any non-same, like homosexual, you know, same gender matchups. I said, there's no male-female matchups, but there is, and we'll get to this later, there is a male non-binary matchup, but I don't know if that's the same thing that Amanda is talking about.
I think to think that...
And she sort of, you know, she said that was very interesting, and I think I admire one of my team members who is able to question my decision-making. I like that. I want that.
Well, I think it's actually trash that she questioned the decision-making because it's a gotcha moment. It's wanting
she
something to be...
She said it was a private conversation.
No, it's a gotcha moment. And I think that she is asking gotcha questions. And I also think that to assume that we would just make these pairings based on gender is very small-minded. Obviously, these are some very specific and carefully curated matchups, and I personally feel insulted. Whether or not it's you that feels insulted by your teammate, that'll be something.
Okay.
But again, just things you're putting out into the karmic atmosphere that are just really questionable, and I really question
this is all
your
coming
team.
From karmic scholar Matt Rogers. Now, okay, now let's go to the next matchup.
Sure, let's do that. Let's move on.
Let's move on. This is
Southern
Bells.
Now, we have someone from a little bit of Texas and someone from a little bit of Georgia.
Here we go.
Now, representing the great state of Texas, mm-hmm. where the hair is big and the steaks are juicy, we have Chrissy Shackelford. Now, this is, to me, one of my very favorite people on my team.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for this. Now, I say this knowing full well that her first I Don't Think So, Honey on our show was, quote, Matt fucking Rogers.
Now, what a interesting, curious thing for you to bring up my self-loathing, but go ahead.
Now, it's different, though.
Okay.
Because she came for me because she wants me to be the best version of myself. And she came for me because I was interrupting you during your I Don't Think So, Honey.
Absolutely.
And she knows, she loves this show so much that she wants to see it fair and square and to its fullest potential. And she wanted to give you the space. And also, she wanted you to have the space to humiliate yourself. You know what I mean? We don't need to hear my voice to hear the garbage that you spew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? She said, no, Matt, don't interrupt him while he talks. Let him drown himself.
Okay.
So I see a really smart game player there.
Sure.
And she knows how to get to you. And also, you know, the most difficult trollable topic in that first I Don't Think So, Honey
was
Julie
Andrews.
And she pulled Julie Andrews, and she was able to make a compelling argument against international icon Julie Andrews. And if that's not the markings of a great champion of I Don't Think So, Honey, this is someone who could win this whole thing.
Now, I just want to say that it's very curious that you bring up this stratagem of this gambit of, you know, she is going to just let the other side, the other person, destroy themselves. And, you know, I identify with that. I feel like your team and your whole, the conversation that you've directed at this point has been very anti-me, anti-Bowen, team Bowen is bad, Bowen's gonna suffer, but blah, 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 blah.
Mm-mm. I champion my team.
And so, you know, it's sort of like the Democratic Party. Like, what was their message during the election other than no Trump? Like what were they gonna do for the American people? It's very reminiscent of that. And it's interesting that you bring up Chrissy's strategy in this way, where it's like, I might just let you destroy yourselves because your platform has no leg to stand on other than no Bowen. So, you know, it's interesting.
That's not true. I think I have a well-rounded team. I think Chrissy's going to bring it home, and I absolutely think she's going to destroy whoever this is on your team.
This is Shalewa Sharp. Now, I've had multiple people come up to me and say, her, I Don't Think So, Honey, at this live show, which was white people who clap on the one and the three instead of the two and the four, was one of the most incisive.
It was very good.
Funny. So it came from such a good, real place. I mean, only Shalewa could have done this, you know? Only Shalewa.
It was very unique.
She's a musical person. She has witnessed this firsthand. She mm-hmm. she saw a problem. She attacked it.
It was a great I Don't Think So, Honey.
And it was the I Don't Think So, Honey heard around the world. People are still coming up to me and saying, Shalewa, That's the icon.
She's incredibly worthy of being here. In fact, when I mentioned to Chrissy that she was going to be competing against Shalewa, I did see some reservation on Chrissy's face, but I think that will drive her.
Okay.
And I think that Shalewa will be buried in the sand.
You know, Georgia is really this new, they're calling it Yollywood. I'm sorry, not Dollywood. Yollywood. It's where
stars are born.
It's where stars are born. It's where all the industry is going to end up in at some point because there are tax breaks for film production there.
Well,
so we're going to all, you know, where people working in this industry might end up in Atlanta at some point to shoot a TV show or a movie. You know, we would want to stay in Atlanta's good graces and maybe give Shalewa a well-deserved win, I'll just say. I mean,
well,
Texas,
I'm not, we don't need to give her any win. In fact, I think what we're going to see, Bowen, is live on stage tomorrow night. We're going to see the night the lights went out in Georgia.
How dare you?
Yeah.
How dare you? And look, Speaking of, if we're going to talk about states, if I hear one more fucking time from Chrissy Shackelford about Blue Bonnets, the Dixie Chicks, fun barbecue places in Austin, 6th Avenue in Austin, UT Austin, whatever the fuck about Texas, I'm going to fucking lose my mind. She's
proud of where she comes
from. No, she's in your face about where she comes from. Like my opponent, Matt Rodgers, who always has to bring up at every fucking moment that he's from Long Island.
Because I survived it.
No, I've survived Canada, Australia, Colorado.
Oh, no, the oppressive places that are Canada and Australia.
The oppressive
places
for a white male.
Oh, no, get that free healthcare away from me.
Long Island.
You suck.
You're
absolutely
trash.
Disgusting.
I'm an immigrant, and I've come so far.
There he is, playing the victim again.
So, I refuse to be a victim. I'm going to quote Toni Morrison. I'm not the victim. I refuse to be one. And that is absolutely my narrative. I share so much in common with Toni Morrison.
Let's discuss these next beloved pair.
Now, this is our, technically, our only non-homogendered pairing. This is Gabe Gonzalez versus Peter Smith. Now, Matt, this is Art Queers.
Yes, Art Queers. My contestant is Gabe Gonzalez, who I'm proud to have on my team. And let me tell you something. It was a bilingual I Don't Think So, Honey.
It was. It was. That was historic.
And he did it on baseball.
Yes.
Via the Troll Bowl. It was incredible.
It was amazing.
He tackled, you know, being a young boy, being expected, in fact, culturally expected to watch baseball. There was this, I Don't Think So, Honey, was so layered.
Yes, it was.
It was international. It was an international I Don't Think So, Honey. And he attacked America's pastime. And Las Culturistas is a very American show. Yes, it is. And to take it that far, I think this was a real challenge. And he hit a home run, a grand slam, if I might use some baseball terms.
There you go.
He rounded all four bases. Mm-hmm. And he slid home for the win. He was the Houston Astro.
He was the Houston Astro. Now, you're right. He was able to pull from his own personal experience in such an artful way. He talked about his upbringing as in a Puerto Rican household, what baseball sort of meant in that household. I will say that he, you know, he might have alienated some people.
You had to reach.
And not even on the cultural.
Why would that alienate?
I don't watch baseball. I don't give a shit about baseball.
He didn't pick the topic. It was the Troll Bowl, honey.
Yeah, but if he's gonna,
he had to make a cohesive argument against whatever we picked, and he was able to slay
it. No, he didn't make it relatable to me.
What?
And to people
he talked
who
about
don't like
he
baseball.
Talked about the only good thing about baseball being seeing the guy's butts. That's not relatable to you.
No, because I don't. The only relatable thing about baseball is getting to go to the games and eating the food.
So then the fact that he didn't mention that to you, it makes it us down the drain.
Absolutely, down the drain, down the fucking drain. Now
you are a wench.
I want to talk about
you're
my
disgusting
team member in
wench.
This matchup, Peter Smith. Now Peter,
another disgusting wench.
No, Peter has lended their talents, so many times.
They've helped us out in the past.
With their Annette Bening impression that still has people talking. With their own I Don't Think So Honeys, both at the live show and on their episode. Now, this is Peter's I Don't Think So Honeys were as follows. and I think Peter, this is historic. Peter
is
drew
hard.
The first Troll Bowl on the episode.
Yes.
For a short period of time, we were giving our guests the option of drawing from the Troll Bowl during their recorded episode.
And I
episodes.
Gave them a hard one, I did.
And you gave them a hard one, and they pulled the hardworking middle class. I think they nailed it on the head. And then at the live show, guests who come into my home, I give them a can of pop, and they leave it. I mean, that's just a full story right there. That's baby shoes never worn, for sale baby shoes never worn. That's a full story right there.
I see a red flag here, though.
Why?
They used the word pop, and that's wrong.
No,
that's wrong.
That's part of the storytelling. It tells you that they're from the Midwest.
I don't need to hear that.
Why not?
Because it doesn't.
Then I don't need to hear that Gabe is from Puerto. Gabe was in a Puerto Rican family.
Listen, him saying the word pop, like
them.
Them saying the word pop, you are a fucking traitor.
Not a feminist, not transphobic, Matt Rodgers.
Them not saying soda took me out of it.
Okay. All right. So you're going to level the same argument against me that I leveled against Gabe. That's fine. That's
it
fair.
It really took me out of it.
So, okay. So this is another draw. We're 7-for-7 draws. So here are our last two.
I give the edge to Gabe and you give the edge to Peter.
There you go. Okay.
This next controversial matchup, and I couldn't be more thrilled that it's controversial.
How dare you?
The Facebook Shaker Uppers.
Facebook Shaker Uppers. We have Marsha Belsky for Team Matt, Nicole Silverberg for Team Bowen. Now this...
I have a hero on my team.
Let's talk about the backstory here.
Yes.
You think you have a hero.
I have a hero on my
team. You have a martyr on your team.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's what you have.
That's Joan of Arc.
It's not the same as a hero.
I believe that they are one
and
the same.
Okay, so a little bit of backstory. Nicole Silverberg posted this extensive, exhaustive, in an amazing way, this list of things that men can do to support women, just in everyday ways, but specifically in ways that deal with sexual assault, just talking about believing women, talking about supporting women in the right ways, talking about not taking their space during these conversations, which is something that anyone, male or female, but mostly male, can learn. And she posted this amazing educational, not pedantic article. That was eventually published on The Guardian. Nicole subsequently received death and rape threats on Twitter and Facebook on all the platforms. And then Matt's teammate, Marsha, sort of came in very nobly and as a sign of support and solidarity said, "Men are scum," which got her banned from Facebook for 30 days. Now, this is a horrible story on all, just every part of the story is just very, 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 depressing and demoralizing in some way. They both went through a lot. And I think Nicole rightfully, when this matchup was announced,
she called it fucked.
She called it fucked, which, you know what? We'll give it to her. It's a fucked matchup.
But that's what I love.
Okay. Here we go. And I'm not the one saying this. This is Matt.
You know what? I think that it's better that they go up against each other.
Why?
Because... we could see, because they know that this will cause them both to go 150% because they look at each other and they have utmost respect for each other.
You don't think the other would throw the competition for the other person?
Absolutely not. Absolutely okay. not. I think that this, I think I looked at the list and I saw the two of them and I said they must go up against each other because look, what they do and what they stand for is 150%. You couldn't say anything about them.
No.
These are two incredibly necessary people. I think it's so fucked up. Facebook banning Marsha, and they have since lifted the ban because I think they've seen the error of their ways.
Yes, yes.
By the way, Mark Zuckerberg is a fucking maniac.
What a fucking idiot.
You know what I found out? He owns 98% of the wealth in the millennial generation. He owns almost everything.
That's disgusting.
He's just a fucking piece of shit.
Facebook
is crazy for not banning these fucking monsters, real monsters who pose real threats to
and
people.
And Twitter, yeah.
And Twitter. And they ban Marsha. And Nicole has to fucking go through all this garbage just for like spreading like what is necessary in the world. So you know what? Pit them against each other. I only care about good. I don't think so, honey. What they've been through, they're going to bring to that stage and they're going to bring the fucking heat.
Yeah. This is, you know what? This one really, I feel of
this will be intense.
I feel such a mix. Yes, exactly. I feel such a mix of emotions. I'm excited. I'm scared. I'm happy. I'm terrified. All these things. I just repeated
Let's
some.
Talk about what they've done. So my Marsha has done, I don't think so, honey, freedom of speech. I'm telling you, this is someone who is not afraid. She has no fear.
To take on the First Amendment of our Bill of Rights.
And you know what? Knowing it's going to be recorded and played nationwide
and
for millions.
Listened to in posterity.
And this is someone who, I'm telling you, I see nothing getting in Marsha's way.
Okay. Now for Nicole, she has demonstrated such versatility. I think I have the versatile queens. On her episode of Las Culturistas, she, I don't think so, honeyed, quote, "You showed me the movie Joy on an Airplane." And I believe one of her little sound bites in that one was, "I would rather the plane go down with the president on it." And at the time, this was pre-inauguration. This was President Obama.
Yeah.
And she was so willing to sacrifice the life of one of our best presidents. And just to drive
one
this
of the
point,
best,
one of the best, and you know, she is not afraid to throw her political alignments aside to make a point. And then her second, I Don't Think So Honey, was at the live show. Second live show, she was the first Troll Bowl draw of that show. Jennifer Garner via Troll Bowl. She, I believe, she used the phrase "Capital One bitch."
You know, I think she did really well with that, with that Jennifer Garner, because then she shared afterwards, when we spoke to her afterwards at the intermission, she said that she actually loves Jennifer Garner.
And the fact that she's able to turn that part of her brain off, her, you know, let me just go easy because I love Jennifer Garner. No, she's going to go for blood.
No, she came hard. She, in fact, even came for her marriage.
She came for her marriage.
And that, to me, presents a problem.
Okay.
Because if you're such a feminist, why are you trying to tear down another woman for her marriage? And also, why are you attacking a movie with a female lead? I think Nicole Silverberg is a wolf in sheep's clothing. I think that she is branded as a feminist and someone who shakes Facebook up in a good way. But I see through it.
Listen.
And I see someone who wants to end the careers of young actresses who embody spirit, grit, and grace.
I won't question Marsha's feminist alignments, her beliefs, but I will just ask the listener right now, go back about 45 seconds and just listen to the part where Matt Rodgers refers to Marsha as my Marsha. Why
no.
the possessive? Why the possessive? He's possessed. Is Marsha chattel?
She doesn't have a problem
with Marsha chattel to Matt? Okay, well,
let's
think about that.
Marsha should fly with the other eagles.
Matt is not a feminist. Okay, and this
is unbelievable that you are such trash. You have a shitty ass. Your mom never taught you how to wipe your ass good.
It's funny. I feel like
you have an ass that has shit on it.
I've been hearing this insult handed down. I believe Tim Murray on social media said I have a shitty ass, and I
said you had a shitty ass. Well, and I'm happy that he picked it up.
Well, Tim picked it up, and you know, the fact that Matt's team members have to resort to
there's a lot of
borrowed,
poop on your butt.
The fact that Matt's team members have to resort to borrowed language is quite tragic. They can't come up with their own
you
original
smell like
thoughts.
Poop because there's so much poop
let's
left
go
over
to
your
the
butt,
last
so you don't know how to wipe your ass
let's
better.
Go to the last matchup. This is Diva Deluxe.
I looked over at Hot Engineer Will, and he was just like raising his eyebrows at that.
Hot Engineer
at
Will.
That run.
I think Hot Engineer Will is exhausted.
Yeah, well, you know what? He's getting paid.
Okay, so this is Diva Deluxe, and this is a huge one.
This will end round one.
This will end round one.
And you know, this is Diva Deluxe. You know what I mean? Like, this is Diva Deluxe. These are Deluxe Divas, and this is as big as it gets. And the reason these two are paired together is because they both created moments in the second I Don't Think So Honey Live that stopped the world stop.
Carry on.
And it took a minute, but it did carry on. But they were shocking moments.
Shocking. Like, let's go through them. All right, what did
on
Michelle
my
do?
Team is Michelle Buteau. Now, this to me is an iconic comedian,
mm-hmm.
who I'm so thrilled and gagged she's doing this show.
Yes.
Her first I Don't Think So Honey at I Don't Think So Honey Live, I mean, we were just honored for her that she even was there.
Yes.
And she came out and shut down Act One. She went last. She said, "People who don't fuck with the song Despacito."
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of that song, by the end of that I Don't Think So Honey,
you love Despacito.
I fucked with Despacito.
Yeah.
And I was who she was talking to because I didn't fuck with Despacito.
And I have Michelle Buteau to thank. I'm going to cross party lines here. And I have Michelle Buteau to thank for being the first person to ever say the words or the name Cardi B.
Yeah.
In my presence. Like, that was the first time I ever heard about Cardi B.
Yeah. And this is like, someone who sets the tone of culture.
Absolutely.
And her second I Don't Think So Honey, when she was invited to be a guest on our show, was, "If you're invited to my house and you don't bring shit,
yeah,
I Don't Think So Honey." Really setting the tone for etiquette in people's homes henceforth.
Sure. I mean, you know, both of these are about behavioral things, and for her to sort of want to be corrective about behavior is dangerous and unwieldy.
Wow.
And you know, she wants to tell me how to live my life. That's not gonna fly
when you've been living it incorrectly.
Okay, so my I'm so excited for my team member for this. This is Annie Donnelly. Now, what she did at this live show was, let's just walk through this beat by beat. She comes on stage with a giant fucking hat of her own.
The hat was big.
Sun
I
hat,
for that.
Black sun hat, bold pink lip.
Rude to come into our house and not wear our hat, but anyway.
Stone cold look on her face like she was too fucking good to be there. And we were gagged from the second she walked on stage with that
look
on her face. We were like,
we were
oh
gagged.
My God, Diva Deluxe.
Diva Deluxe.
And then she walks on stage, stacks our own Culturistas hat on her own hat. She knew what she was doing. She came prepared. She came correct. And she, her I Don't Think So Honey was Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. Now, people have definitely come for us before and I Don't Think So Honey. That we know. But this was above and beyond explosive. And I will say, like, before we get into this, I will reference something that she did on social media. She she challenged herself by, and she posted a status a few months ago, like the status and I'll read your ass like a fucking drag queen, honey. And she got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of likes, read almost all of those people to filth. God, I mean,
she's a dangerous person.
Dangerous person.
And it's definitely going to be very very interesting to watch and see what she does. I just wonder, have we seen the best of what she can offer?
We've seen her.
I just wonder, can it get any better or bigger than coming from the host of the podcast and roasting us as a pair, as individuals, and for what we stand for? I don't know. I think she might have blown her fucking load with her huge, you know, penis.
Her Facebook post about reading people like just hundreds of comments deep. That was the Benghazi hearing of her. If we're gonna, if Annie is Hillary, that was her Benghazi hearing. Just the stamina, just putting up with people's bullshit, being like, why are you, hurry up on your reads? Why aren't your reads coming in? She took her time. She was cool as a cucumber the whole time. Delivered on these, I don't think so, on these reads, like calling with Joel Kim Boosters. We'll bring up as an example. She said, and I quote, fat feminasian, more like microdermabrasion, get your skin fixed, you ugly slut. Or fucking, something like that.
Holy fucking shit.
I mean, come on. I am just girding my loins for what you will say.
I'm not saying that it's not going to be a fucking fight, but you know what? That's why it's Diva Deluxe.
That's why it's Diva Deluxe, and I just want to quote a couple more things from her.
Oh my God.
Just to take it back to her, I don't think so, honey. She said, Matt Rogers, can we hang out? Can we be friends? Because it seems like all your friends get famous except for you.
That hurt.
And then she said to me, and Bowen Yang, sponsored by Spoke? No, sponsored by Warby Parker, honey. It's called, you want to get fucked? It's called 1-800-CONTACT. 1-800. And then she said, she emphatically added a period to that whole piece by saying, 1-800-CONTACTS, hunty. Go back and listen to the audio because the audience is fucking... They go fucking crazy.
Almost as much as they were screaming from Michelle Buteau. But almost as much.
You have to listen to the audience during Annie Donnelly's... I don't think so, honey. Look, the audience is just wailing and screaming and going, ah!
This battle pairing is going to shut it down.
It's going to shut it down.
It's going to shut it down, and that will end round one, and then there is a little bit of a twist.
There's some twists up our sleeve.
So, Matt and Bowen, the two of us, we each have a steal of someone who's been eliminated from the other team who then will compete on our team in round two.
Yes.
So
and then
we have, yes,
a redemption, which is one of us just taking back one of our own eliminated team members to fight at our side once again.
So truly, if they lose the first round, it's not over.
No.
They can still go on to win.
Mm-hmm.
Again, this is going to be very much a gag. This will be judges Joel Kim Booster, Michelle Collins, and a surprise third mystery guest judge.
Wow.
Which will be revealed.
Which will be revealed. Now, we can't wait. We hope this little rundown has given you all the context you need. Consider this a primer for going into Tuesday night, November 7th.
Yes, tomorrow.
Tomorrow, Culture War, and I Don't Think So Honey Deathmatch, 8:30 p.m., 7:30 p.m. doors at Villain, 307 Kent Avenue.
Yes, buy tickets now because you don't want to get to the door and have to pay a little bit more, honey.
A little bit more, honey.
Again, it's a part of New York Comedy Festival. We're so excited.
So excited.
It's going to be a bloodbath, but also a love fest.
A love fest and a bloodbath, absolutely. That's the beautiful thing about all of this. This is all for love, all out of love. What we did for love, this show, bitch.
Yes.
Now, Matt, any closing thoughts?
Fuck you.
Fuck you. That's it. Bye.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.